Good to be here this morning. Good to have my wife with me this morning. Her name is Beth, if you didn't get a chance to meet her beforehand. I've been a bit of a struggle getting things ready for today. I had talked to Pastor about possibility of PowerPoint. You guys that have known me and have seen me here before when I've preached on your 4th of July celebrations, I have had PowerPoints up here, and we've gone through a multimedia type thing, and we've had, and this is nice, by the way, the screens, because it was, I think, on the wall before when I was here last time I did one. We have quotes from our founding fathers, and we have all kinds of things going on, and the Lord has really been speaking with me lately. I don't know if I'm just becoming a grumpier old man as I get older. I don't know, but I thank you very much. The moral support was the reason why I asked her to come this morning. So thank you so much for that. But I'm at a point where I've come to realize that I want you to understand, I am proud to be an American, but I am not proud of America. And before you get on me or dislike the fact that I made that statement, I will just say that I don't believe God's pleased with America. Freedom is a wonderful thing, and that's going to obviously be the theme for the day, maybe a little different than what you thought coming in the doors, but freedom left to man becomes a very dangerous thing. So the further we remove God from our freedoms, the worse things get. And probably in no other country than America could things get as bad as they've gotten because we have so much freedom. We abuse freedom in this country. I'm very thankful, as Pastor said a few moments ago, to be in a place this morning where I can talk like I'm going to talk and I don't have to worry about somebody coming through the door and arresting me or executing me or throwing me in prison. I'm so thankful for the freedom that we have here. But the problem with America, and he alluded to it this morning, the problem with America is not the government. The problem with America is the church. We talk about how much we love this country, but the best thing that we can do for this country is to be the type of Christians that God has called us to be. The country's in the mess it's in because the church is in the mess it's in. And the church is in the mess it's in because the individual Christians within the church or the body are the mess that they're in. We talk about how we want to turn things around, and we want to get things changed up, and how we want to bring America back to God, but there's no movement among the church. There's no revival, there's no turning, there's no repenting, there's no... I think a lot of times we just do this. It's just lip service. If we really want to turn a corner in this country, then we've got to turn a corner in the church. And people are going to have to start coming back to God, or coming to God at all, and living a life that's surrendered and totally dedicated to Him. I am in the process at the church that I'm at. I'm in the process of a Wednesday night Bible study on Revelation. And I'm in week 15, I think, and we're on chapter number, I think, 10 last week. And I realize as I go through Scripture just how close we're getting. America is going to cease to exist, just like every other country in the world, eventually, because we know there's going to be a global community. We know there's going to be a one world government and one world church, and everything's going to be global. And certainly nobody that's paying attention to the news today over the past decade anyway, unless you're blinded completely, hasn't seen that that's the direction we're taking. Everything is globalism today. And that was, I'm not here to preach about presidents, et cetera, but that was honestly and truthfully, listen, I'm not on this, I got to let you know, I'm not on this bandwagon today with the, please hear me out, don't cut me off, I'm not on this Trumpism bandwagon. Listen, Donald Trump is not a holy man, he's not a godly man. The reason they hated him wasn't because he was godly. The reason they hated him is because he was a clog in the work toward globalism. Donald Trump was an American, if you will. He believed in the country. He believed in the individuality of and the stability of this country. And he didn't want to join the global community. And that's the direction they've been headed for some time. And so it kind of stopped everything up for a while. He was a patriot, if you will, in that regard. What we want to do and what we're seeing done across this country today is a demonizing of our founding fathers. I really, they want to try to make them look like they were evil men, and they want to put them in a dark light because that takes away any pride that we have in being Americans, and that moves us into more like, you know, we don't have anything any more special than anybody else has, so it makes it easier to become a global community. The internet and the Facebooking and the social media has made that such an easy thing to do. Everybody's in that now. We know people in Russia, and we know people in Czechoslovakia, and we know people in Israel and all over the place that we communicate with over our cell phones, basically. It's not what's just going on here. That pride in this country is being stripped away. But it's going to happen. I mean, there's going to be a global community. I'm not always going to be part of an American society, but I'm always going to be part of God's society, God's kingdom, and I have a heavenly home. And I think sometimes every day that you pray, you need to thank God for the freedoms in America, and you need to pray for this country, but we need to do more than just be praying. We need to be a part of the change. And until the Christian gets serious, until the church gets serious, there's not going to be a change of any kind. I know I just said to you it's going to all go the other way eventually, but in Scripture, when you study it, there's been times that saints of God have stayed the hand of God's judgment, and maybe if we turn back to God, maybe we could stay that a while. Is that important to us? It ought to be, because the longer we got, the more we can reach the lost, which doesn't seem to be our biggest concern anymore. We're just in a bad way. And it's not... Look, we get distracted. Pastor talked a little bit. We get distracted with things going on as Americans. I'm an American second. Understand that I'm a Christian first. When we get distracted by things around this world, and we fret things that we don't need to worry about. And I'm going to give you this example really quickly. And my wife and I are two that have been on this bandwagon. You know, the take the rainbow back stuff. Okay, you know, you've heard people talking about that. Listen, I want you to understand something. That rainbow God created, and that rainbow belongs to God, and nobody can take that away from Him. And He had to relinquish that, and God's not relinquishing anything. Okay, we don't have to worry. That's not a threat because they want to use the rainbow. Because God's not going to give that to them, and they don't have the power to take it from Him. The rainbow will always mean what it means. God created it for a purpose. He wouldn't flood the world again with water. He made that promise, and that's what it represents. Listen, they can't even get it right. It's nothing to be all caught up in. Don't get set on an agenda and start chasing that and miss the bottom line, which is that we win the loss to Christ. That's what this is about. Yeah, I don't like that movement, but I want to reach those that are involved in it. We want to pull them out. We're going to hear us talking about pulling out of sanctification day. We want to pull them out of that. They're not in freedom right now, you understand. They have, listen, this is the difference in when we talk about freedom, which has to be a theme on the day today, there's a difference in what we look at as freedom as Americans and what God looks at as freedom in His Word. To them, they have freedom, and America would consider that they have freedom to live that lifestyle, but they're not living freely. There's a difference in spiritual freedom and freedom in this world. We've got to be able to make this distinction. Look, that flag that they use isn't even a rainbow anyway. You understand that God created the rainbow, so the creator of something is the only one who can establish what that thing has to be like. And our God put seven colors in that rainbow. There's seven colors. When you look up in the sky, and the rainbow God created, there's seven colors in that rainbow. When their flag was first invented, it had eight. And they went to a flag company to have these flags made, and the company that was making the flag discovered that one of the colors, which was like an indigo or violet type, that color was hard to get in material, so they dropped it off their flag, so it brought it down to seven. And then they had a big event that they were holding, and they wanted to hang this, if you can imagine with me visually, the old, you know, in San Francisco and out in California place, they have these flag pole or these light poles that go up, and on either side there's a bar going off, so you can hang banners on either side. They wanted to hang half of the flag on one side and half the flag on the other side, hanging downward, and they couldn't because it was seven colors, and you can't split that equally in half. So they got rid of the middle stripe. The flag they currently have is a six-colored flag. That's their one that they universally accept. Now, isn't that interesting that the number it turned out to be is the number of man? The number that has nothing in Scripture good to say about it. It's going to be the mark of the beast, the number of man. Everybody knows about 666. And And the number, the rainbow that God created is number 7, and we could sit here for an hour and a half and talk about the sevens included in the Bible. The things around God's throne in Revelation are by sevens, or 7 trumpets, or 7 seals, or 7 angels, or 7 candles, or, you know, we go on and on and on. Man can't imitate God correctly. So don't worry about that stuff. All right, don't worry about it. What we need to worry about is reaching down for Christ. Don't worry about their flag, their banner. We got to reach them. You want them out of that? You got to bring them to Christ. Everything, listen, I appreciate more than you know. I am a patriotic individual. I grew up in a generation. I mean, I was around in 1976 when I went through a bicentennial. I was swelled up with pride and I was excited. And I'm still excited that I'm an American. But listen, and I appreciate the blood that was shed to give us the freedom that we have here. But that blood matters nothing if we miss the blood of the one who died to set everyone free. I am burdened by the insincerity, by the lack of genuineness, by the lack of motivation and correctness in the lives of Christians. America certainly was founded on being a Christian nation. Now they're trying to take away some of those quotes that we've used before and say they don't exist. Like, I had one on a PowerPoint that I was here one time before that said, George Washington, was a quote from George Washington where it said, it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without the Bible and without God in the Bible. Well, now we're being told that that's not a quote George Washington ever made. And in fact, the George Washington Library, historical library that has all the writings and books, say that no, there's nothing that can be found where George Washington ever said that. Look, they can take anything they want away from our heritage and history. It can be a lie. They can take anything they want away from what we believe, what we feel, where we were founded, how we were founded upon. But they can do nothing to destroy this. Amen. This is the one thing. Listen, no matter what they try to change, no matter what they dispute, this is always going to be truth, and you and I can always stand upon this, and we can always give this. As much as those quotes are nice, America doesn't need George Washington, America needs Christ. It needs Christians to rise up, like she sang about. That was beautiful, by the way. We got to rise up! And we don't rise up, listen, it's not rising up in our Americanism, it's rising up in the Word of God. Look, I am so thankful for the decision about Roe versus Wade. It got it half right. I'm sorry, I know you could disagree with me. And I'm not about big government. But the ruling decision in this land would have been years ago that nobody's doing abortions. It ain't going to happen state to state. Lots of government overstepping its bounds. If it's a righteous government, you need that. Remember, righteousness exalteth a nation. Right. And righteousness at the top is where it ought to begin. It was a half-right decision. It didn't stop the killing of babies because we found that there's many states that are fighting over this and fussing over this and they're going to have laws. I mean, New York is so upset over this. I mean, they lost the gun thing and they lost that. You know, the gun thing, by the way, is another thing we get wrapped up in. You guys know me. I'm an ex-cop. You know I do CCW classes. You know I carry. I've always got a gun on me. I think we ought to have that right. But I'm not going to get stuck in that because whether I'm allowed to carry a gun or not doesn't change the fact. My job is to preach Christ. It's another thing that can become a distraction to us. What's an American thing to carry a gun? Yes, but if I couldn't carry a gun anymore, if something happened and I wasn't allowed to anymore, look, I'm not going to let them kill me over a gun because my job is to witness for Christ. Understand? We've got to get lined up in the right line of thinking, and there's so many things pulling us in 100 directions. Because abortion is overturned, or because there are groups out there that fight same-sex relationships, do you understand that that's not, as a nation, although the media makes it look like everybody's on board with that stuff, the majority still are not. But that doesn't mean the majority are Christian. You've got to, sometimes we lump this all together. You've got to understand that there are people who have a set of moral standards that they were raised with that aren't necessarily born again, but they believe what we believe in some areas like that. A perfect example, I think, would be Rush Limbaugh. He believed what a lot of us believe in relationship to things like same-sex relationships or guns and things like that. But he was not a Christian man. Unless something happened to Rush Limbaugh right before he died, he's burning in hell. Because it's not your stand on political issues to get you into heaven. It's the faith and acceptance in Jesus Christ. That's it for everybody. I don't care what nationality or what country you're from. It comes down to the bottom line is you've got to accept Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there that are against sodomy that aren't Christians. A lot of people out there against abortion aren't Christians. Because something gets overturned doesn't mean that the nation's full of Christian people. No, it's not. Some of it's just because we're old people. And we're just, you know, we're raised better than that, right? We have to be very careful to not allow ourselves to get caught up in areas and agendas that really don't matter. Our number one agenda needs to be today, tomorrow, next year, so Lord Terry, the reaching of the lost for Jesus Christ. I'm going to focus on freedom today, but I want us to kind of look at freedom from a perspective that might be a little different, because again, I do love this country. And I want this country to turn around. But until we reach the Christians and get them on board and doing right, this is not going to happen. So we have to start in the church, and we've got to get ourselves turned around. I don't have time this morning to go over the list of about 8 things in the Bible that hinder our prayers from being heard. But when we're living in sin, listen to me, you can pray all you want, and He won't hear your prayer. And I can show you scripture on things. Not getting along with your wife, not attending church, being full of pride, being friends with the world, are all things that will keep and hinder your prayers from reaching. He just disregards them, if you will. Oh, well, God better hear my prayer. No, you've been taught for so long that God has to hear everything that you say and has to listen to everything. He doesn't have to do anything, by the way. He listens in honor because we've got a mediator between us, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. But there are things that hinder our prayer life. I mean, David said that hiding iniquity in his heart, for example. You will not hear me. You will not hear him. I have a list. I preached this message about this, but I think we got a lot of prayers going up, but I think we got a lot of prayers going up that are nothing more than just words, because we're not right. If my people, which are called by me, shall humble themselves and seek my face, you see, there's some things that have to happen. There's things, and it's not just praying. You want to live in sin and do whatever you want to do, and you want to pray and you think everything's supposed to be better. No! Until we get this, listen, church, I'm burdened. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just burdened. Until we get this right in the church, until our people get it right, we're not going to see anything get better in America as a whole, because this nation doesn't need new presidents and politicians. It needs Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what this nation was founded upon. We will have no king but Jesus, they said. It's about Jesus. It always has been. Pastor hit it very well when he said, we are a great country for one reason. That's that God's made us a great country. It's the only reason why. And the further we remove from Him, the more depraved and sinful and wicked that we've become, and the worse things get. I love you guys here. I really do. And maybe I couldn't go in, and maybe God knew this when He gave me this message, maybe I couldn't go into any church that I go to and preach a message like this, because there's a lot of churches I just don't think could take it, but I know this church. I've been here a number of times, and I've got friends at this church, and I know what kind of preaching goes on at this church, and I know your pastor. You could call that a Sunday school lesson if you want, but he was preaching to me. I know your pastor puts forth the word, and he does it without apology, so it's not something new to you. You hear somebody stand up here and preach the word and give you the truths that are sometimes hard to take. And he talked this morning about Joseph getting in trouble because he repeated things God said, and sometimes, preacher, that's exactly what happens to us. We get in trouble repeating things that God said. And we got to do exactly what He said. Don't take it personally. Church, I want you to turn to John chapter 17 for a minute. And then I'm going to have you turn to Galatians chapter 6. And Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to use a verse there that's going to pretty much be the theme for today. But, man, I want to help us today. If you really love this country, listen to me today. If you really love this country, then understand that we've got some things that we've got to do. I don't use visuals. I've used PowerPoint. I'm talking about, I don't use props, if you will, tonight. I'm actually going to use a prop I saw in Pastor to help get a point across to you on this idea of freedom. In John chapter number 17, we find our Lord Jesus Christ praying. If you really want to know what the Lord's Prayer is, it's not where He prays, "Our Father which art in heaven." That is a model prayer that He prays, teaching His apostles or His disciples to pray. Here, He's actually praying. Okay, this is the Lord actually praying. I want you to notice what He says. Pastor, I don't even know what time I got up here. I don't know what time you want me to stop, but just kind of let me know when. Watch verse 6. "I have manifested thy name." He's praying on the Father. He says, "I manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the..." Watch the terminology. You're going to see this word "world" a lot. "That thou gavest me," notice the terms here, "out of the world." Okay? "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them." I pray not for the world. Notice what he said. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one," notice this next, "as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Notice the comparison. They're not of the world any more than I'm of the world, he says. "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctity," and I want you to notice that word "sanctity," which means set apart, sanctify them. He says, "set them apart through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth." And you already established in verse 17, his truth is his word. "Neither pray I for these alone," he says, that's the apostles. No, look, "neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Now you see, he said earlier, he gave them his word, and they took his word, and now it was their word they were giving. What word is that? This is that Bible you're holding on your lap. So Jesus is praying for his apostles here, but he's also praying for you. Those who will be reached through their word. The context here is that they are in the world. He said, don't take them out of the world because there's a job to be done, but they are in the world, but they're not of the world. In other words, we aren't even citizens here, if you will. This is not our home, guys. We get so wrapped up in so much that's going on here when the message has to, has to be Jesus Christ. There's 100 things we can get distracted on in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just in it. And we're not in it to preach the things of it. We're in it to be sanctified. You notice the terminology there, mentioned 3 times. Sanctification is a setting apart. We are in this world, but we are set apart from this world. And you're going to see here in a little bit, when I give you some verses, that God is very serious about this thing, about being separated from the world. Not being caught up in the affairs of this life. Because this life, at its best, you might make 100 years. When you leave this life, it's eternal. That's where the focus needs to be. Not just for you, but on everybody you know, and everybody you come in contact with, and every family member you have, and every coworker, and every neighbor needs to be, where are they going to spend eternity? It's like praying for people. And I've been in churches on a Wednesday night, some prayer requests. We do it at our own church. I reach out, I take prayer requests from folks. It's like, pray for Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, or there's somebody by name I don't even know, is a neighbor theirs. My question to everybody who ever does that to me is this first: are they saved? Because, to be honest with you, that physical ailment, whatever it is they're enduring or suffering, is minuscule at best compared to that question, are they saved? If I will pray for anybody you know that's sick or ill or injured or having a difficulty. If you come to me and say, Brother Hofacker, would you pray for this person? I guarantee I'll pray for them. I'll write their name down. But I'm going to ask you, are they saved? Because that's what we need the most. More than any physical healing in this world, we need spiritual awakening or quickening. We need salvation. And we're so caught up in the now. I've even had independent fundamental Christians preacher, maybe you've had a slip of the tongue by folks even that you know, that's pray for so-and-so, they died. It's no. It's too late. Should we be praying for the family and their mourning and their grieving? Yes, but we ought to be praying that through that mourning and grieving and through that loss, that something will be said or done that caused them to realize that life is going to slip away from them and they'll begin to think about eternity, and through something that happens, they'll come to the Lord. That's the prayer, more than their grief being relieved. Listen, if grief brings them to Christ, then let them grieve. It's not being mean. It's being eternally minded. Go to Galatians. I'm sorry, Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. This is at the end of the whole armor of God portion of Scripture that everybody reads and knows and preaches from. And just looking at the last two verses, and this is the jumping pad this morning and tonight. Paul says, and for me, this is verse 19, chapter 6 of Ephesians, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now watch, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, what is bondage? We're on a day talking about freedom. Is not bondage and freedom the exact opposites of each other? If you're in bondage, are you free? No. Those are conflicting things, it would appear. And I'll focus on that in bonds later. And it's not going to be the... You guys heard me preach, I think, back in June when I was here for the revival meeting and preached with Brother Lutz and Brother Dixon, might have been, or who's, yeah, I believe who's here. Who is it? Yeah. I preached with those gentlemen. I think I preached a message on Paul being a bondsman. And it's not going to be... I'm not going that direction. I'm going to talk about a freedom aspect. It's not the same message, so bear with me. Don't think, oh, he's going to preach about being a bond. I'm going to preach about bondage, but it's not that message. But that's tonight. I'm going to put us into a proper understanding of what it is. But first, I want us to get this point. Paul says before he goes into the in bonds wouldn't make any difference unless we realize first what he says he is or who he is. He is an ambassador. Okay, that's what Paul is. He's an ambassador. Do you know that if you're born again this morning, you have an eternal home, and the Bible talks about your citizenship in heaven. That's your citizenship. This is temporal. Everything here is temporal. That's where my name is written down. That's where my home is. That's where my king is. That's my homeland. That's my eternity. That's yours this morning. Amen? You're born again if you're saved. That'll excite us right there. A lot of hard preaching, a lot of hard things being said. You ought to jump for joy when you hear something that makes you excited. Are you glad that heaven's your home this morning? Amen? We can get excited about that. But I'm an ambassador from that land. You're an ambassador. Well, that's a whole lot different than the way to think of ourselves as. We get really comfortable down here in this world. Look, I want you to understand that, and I believe every word that's in my King James 1611 Bible is exactly the word God wanted there, because I believe that we can look at those words, and when you look at a word, you can define that word, and when you look at the definition of that word, you understand exactly what God was trying to tell us. That word ambassador is exactly the word God put there, and he put it there for a reason. So you have to understand what he's saying. What is Paul saying that he is? What is he saying that you are or I am? And listen closely to this, because I want you to get this. If you're an ambassador, here's what you are. You are a minister of the highest rank, first of all. In other words, don't ever think that you don't matter and it's not important what you do and how you represent. It matters greatly. You are a child of the King of Kings. Glory to God! This world will beat you up. It will tell you how wrong you are. It'll tell you that you're a hater. It'll throw a lot of stuff in your face. And no, you're not. And no, I'm not. We are children of the King. And we are held in the highest rank. When Jesus left, he said, remember, he said, I am the light of the world. And he says that his word is a light unto our path. The Bible is a light. Jesus is a light. When he left, he said to them, ye are the light of the world. You and I are now lights of this world. How important are you and I? This world without the light would be in total darkness. See, darkness is nothing in and of itself. It doesn't exist. Darkness is simply the absence of light. That's all it is. Why is the world dark today? Everybody would say the world's dark. Well, then there must be an absence of light. Well, when I check my Bible, who's the light? Well, if that's us, then whose problem is this? Some of you guys look like you could kill me right now. You would. Listen. You are a minister of the highest rank employed by, now listen to this, employed by one prince or state. Now, what's the difference in this? It covers both. Because if you live in a country where it's a king-ruled country, then you're representing the king. If you live in a nation where it's a government like ours is, and a democracy, then you're representing the state or the nation. Okay, you're representing whatever it is that rules that land. It's like when we had the CCW permit laws come out, it said that in a church, the sanctioning body is the only one who can give a right for somebody to carry a gun in the church. And it's done on a case-by-case basis. In an independent Baptist church like this one, which I am, by the way, that would be Pastor White. In other words, the person can't come in here and carry a gun unless he gets permission from Pastor White, even if he's got a permit. But if it was another kind of church, it might be a deacon-run church, so it would be a group of persons that would give that. So you understand the difference in these two things. So it covers both, whatever you're representing. A minister of highest rank, employed by one prince or state at the court of another. So you're somewhere where you're not the citizen of. It's an ambassador. If we're an ambassador here, then that means we're a citizen somewhere else. Okay, and we're employed by, in this case, the prince, to manage the public concerns of his own king or state. So you are not an ambassador where you are to represent the interests of the place where you are, but to represent the interests of the place where you are from, or you're a citizen of. So our purpose here is not representing ourselves. Our purpose here is not representing, America as a whole is representing God and the eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God. That's our purpose. And to represent the power and dignity of his sovereign. Wow. We got a lot of power to represent, don't we? Nobody in this world understands being an ambassador and having the power that we have as Christians. So, I'm really convinced this, Brother Kelly. I think this is our big problem. We live in a democracy. We are all about, we are voted. Our opinion matters. Decisions are made based on a multitude of ideas, a multitude of thoughts. Elections are held. All of these things happen. This is how we were born and raised. We're Americans, right? It could be a wonderful thing, but it sets in our head this image that everything we say really matters a lot. Doesn't it? I mean, we grow up with that, right? I matter. I'm going to voice my opinion. I'm going to vote. What I think matters. The truth of the matter is, and boy, this is such a hard thing for us and such a switch, because honestly, the place that you're a citizen of is exactly the opposite of that very thing. Because we don't represent a kingdom where there's a bunch of people running around voting on things. We don't represent a democracy. We represent a monarchy. Boy, that's kind of contrary to everything American, right? Because we're Americans, and I can do what I want to do. And we get all this. I got a freedom of choice. Well, God lets you choose, but there's always something's going to happen if you choose the wrong way. But if you just switching that gear around, just switching that around itself, just understanding that you represent a king. And honestly, my voice, opinion-wise, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I think ought to have in heaven. Doesn't matter what I think ought to be going on up there. Doesn't matter what I think the streets ought to be paved with. I mean, why are we throwing away perfectly good gold on streets? We get rid of our national deficit with that. Look, it doesn't matter what I think, because I serve a king. And when I'm here, when I'm teaching people by my lifestyle, representing that kingdom in which I live, as I teach them by my life, I ought to be teaching them that it doesn't matter what Chris Holfacker thinks. When somebody is wanting to know our opinion on something, our answer ought to be, well, you know what? My opinion really doesn't matter a whole lot more than yours. Here's what God says about this. Man, this is hard, isn't it? Because it's so opposite, right?
Yeah.
It's not what we're taught from the time we're kids. Anything that's special about me is Christ Jesus in me. I am not special in any way but Jesus. By God's love for me, He made me His child. I'm special because of Him. Chris Holfacker is not special. The child of God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is special in the sight of God. This world has nothing to make me special. Nothing about this world makes me special. I'm just like every other sinner. The ones that are sitting in the bars tonight instead of being in church. I'm just like they are, except for Jesus. It's the only special thing I got and you got. It's Him. Look, at Paul says he's an ambassador. Do you think there's a code of conduct that ambassadors follow when they come to a country, or do you think they just go and do whatever they please? There's a code, isn't there, of conduct that they must follow. I'm just trying to get your mind wrapped and geared around this a little bit this morning to understand who you really are first. Paul said he's an ambassador. We'll get to the bonds part tonight. I want you to get who you are. First of all, this is who you are. Is this what you're doing? Is this how you're living your life? An ambassador isn't governed by the laws of the land in which are contrary to the laws of the land in which he represents. He's covered by something called diplomatic immunity. Okay, now understand this about our king. Our king says, obey those who have the rule and authority over you. We're not a good testimony when we're breaking laws that have nothing to do with violating the scripture. I always get in trouble, preacher, whenever I mention this, and I've said it before, and people say, well, that's just because you're a cop. But no, listen to me. Speeding down the road, you already know where I'm going. A law saying that we shouldn't go more than 65 doesn't violate Scripture. You get pulled over doing 70, 75, you get pulled over speeding down the road, you ought to be embarrassed. Because did you really violate man's laws or did you violate God's? Who said obey them and have the rule and authority over you? Do I listen to man because man wants me to listen to man, or do I listen to man because God says obey those? Am I making sense? You guys look at me like you're confused or lost. What am I really violating? God's laws. The laws of the homeland that I'm representing. I'm telling these people that the laws aren't for me. I'm above that. I'm not above that. If a law violates the scripture, then I'm going to be just like Peter and the church and the other apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. If those two things are contrary, then we're going to follow God. If it puts us in prison someday, it puts us in prison, but we're going to follow God. But most of the laws, the everyday common laws of society, are just there to protect other people against our stupidity and the things that we do wrong. For example, when you're doing 80, you're much more likely to get in a wreck to kill somebody than if you're doing 55. All right? So we follow those laws. Secondly, a good ambassador will work to do only those things that work to the benefit of his king or country. That's what our whole purpose is to benefit our king or our country. Your heavenly home. What do you, in the work that you do, and I'm going to talk about your secular job, I'm talking about in your daily living, your conversation, your manner of life, is that geared around furthering the kingdom of God? You can answer this question very easily by just answering this one thought in your own mind, not necessarily raise your hand. When was the last time you witnessed to somebody? Well, reaching the lost for Christ, how we further the kingdom of God. If you're not a witness, you're not living to further the kingdom of God. And yeah, it really does come down to that very thing. You are here and I'm here right now, and all of this stuff is set in place so that we can reach the lost. That's what he came and died for. And aren't you glad because you're saved today sitting here because somebody told you? We do the work of the one we represent. We're, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're the light. or we should be, if we're doing our job well. We have a servant attitude. Oh, that's tough in this country, isn't it? Everybody's got that blown-up attitude. I've got the right attitude. I can do that. It's all about me, 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 me. Your attitude, and Pastor said it several times this morning, it's not about you. It's not. We ought to have a servant attitude. We ought to be the light. We ought to be a servant. We ought to do the things that are our kicker. We ought to be given the truth. Thirdly, ambassadors remain in that foreign land in which they serve until their job is done. They get called out by their country. As long as you woke up this morning and you have a breath in you, there's a job for you to do. You haven't been called out. Physically been called out. When you woke up this morning, were you thinking in your mind, well, you probably were today more than most days, so it's Sunday, so you're at least thinking about coming to church. Or do you normally wake up in the morning and think about, how am I going to please God today? What can I do to represent Him well today? I have a day God's given me. I wake up, I take a breath, I go, whew, thank you, Lord, for another day. Now, I know it's easy to reach the point in our lives where we get tired, don't we? Are you weary? I think any preacher, anybody who's living for the Lord gets weary. There's a lot of losses we suffer. We lose kids sometimes. We lose family members that don't want anything to do with us because we're Christians. Those things happen, and we get weary, and we want to go home, and we lose people who we know are saved, and we just want to get up there, we want to rejoice with them, we want to be around the Lord, and we want to have heaven as our home. We want to get there now. Let me go now, Lord. I'm ready to go. But no. It's not about you. That's coming. But I gave you breath today. When I'm ready for you to stop being my ambassador, I'll bring you on. You're here. There's something for you to be doing today. An ambassador serves until he's called out. They have an appointed time and they have an appointed task. It's appointed on a man once to die for this to judgment. There's appointed time. I believe that God sets your birthday. I believe He sets the date of your death. I believe it's already appointed. And there's an appointed task, is it? Go ye into all the world. That's our task, is to reach the lost. Here we are back to it again. You know, we complicate it so bad. There's one big thing. Reach the lost. Reach the lost. Reach the lost. What about living right? You can't reach the lost unless you are, because your testimony is no good. All the things that we do are about reaching the lost. Listen, a good ambassador accepts the responsibility when they accept the position. In other words, a king does not come to a person in his country and go, I know you hate this country and you live everything contrary to this country. I want you to represent us in some other place. They're not forced to go. They don't, hey, would you like to go and serve another country? If he says no, that's not the guy I want going over to another country and serving. His attitude is going to be bad before he ever gets out of here, before he ever gets there. How's he going to represent? Look, let me tell you something this morning. God didn't force you to be saved. You chose to be saved. And now if you're sitting there in your mind, you're thinking, boy, if I'd have known this, maybe I wouldn't have. You probably aren't saved, because if you're truly saved, you know it's the best thing that ever happened to you.
Right. Amen.
You would never give back your salvation. Ambassadors do not become citizens of the place they are serving. They stay separate. And they stay separate in their actions, in their appearances, in their appetites. They stay separate. Now, I saw that word, you saw it in the Lord's Prayer about those that were there with Him and those that would come to know Him through their word. He kept saying, using the word sanctified, sanctified, sanctified. And I could go through other verses. Pastor's probably got some running through his head right now that use the word sanctified. We have been sanctified. That means we have been set apart. He took us out of this world. He took us out of the position we were in. We're to be different. We're to be a peculiar people, as the Bible says. Understand that God loves the souls of mankind, but this world is His enemy. And so I've had people say this to me, well, it's all about separating yourself from the world system. In other words, not getting caught up in the politics of the world. No, it's about the system and the people that follow that system. Do you remember what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17? He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, he's not talking about them as a nation. He's talking about people. You come out from them. You don't go places that you used to go. You don't hang out with the people you used to hang out with. They're not the people that you can fellowship with. They're not the people you should have things in common with. Honestly and truthfully, if you're living right, they're going to scramble when you come. Because if you're telling them about Jesus every time you turn around, they're not going to want to keep hearing that, or they're going to get saved. One of the two. No lost sinner wants to have somebody keep talking about Jesus. Convicting. Nobody likes that feeling. I don't like it as a child of God when the Holy Spirit convicts me. None of us like that feeling. It should be good for us, because we should go, wow, It's just another evidence that I'm saved, right? Look, we're to come out from among them. Says the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're not to love this world. You see, where is the church today, though? We're right. We're not just in the world, we're of the world anymore. You can't tell the difference. We're told over and over again in James chapter 4. Of course, the Bible tells us that we're adulterers and adulteresses if we have friendship with the world. And he says that friendship with this world is enmity, it's hatred with him. But where are we, most of us, sitting in our lives and in our churches? It's a totally different life inside the doors of this church than outside when we're out there Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. It's totally different. Why? Because we're still friends of that old world out there. Remember when Jesus said, they hated me, that they're going to hate you? Does the world hate you? They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall? Doesn't say might, are you sure? I think it says might, doesn't it? It says shall? That sounds pretty concrete. Are you suffering persecution for the Lord? I'm not being mean, church, but I do happen to love America. We're not going to reach them. Nothing's going to happen until we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Look, if you're sitting at... What night do you have visitation? Thursday night visitation. If on Thursday night, if you're sitting at home watching TV, and there's no health reason why you can't be here on Thursday night, or you're at work, if there's nothing going on, you're sitting home watching TV, you ain't got this figured out yet. I'm just telling you. Can I get an escort out of here this morning? I'm just telling you. Listen, you're not getting it. That's the purpose. Reach the lost. Reach the lost. Get the gospel out there. If you're sitting, if you could be here on Thursday, instead you're watching TV, then what have you just said? Watching TV is more important than this. If you had a choice in those two things and you chose one over the other, that's the one that matters most to you. That's not hard math, is it? It's not algebra. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You have a choice to make on Thursday night. I'm off work. I'm at home. Yeah, I'm tired because I worked all day. Okay, so that means your comfort's more important than reaching the lost. But you've got a choice on Thursday night to make. I didn't come in here to stir up trouble. I really want to help you. I want to help this country. It's got to start with church. Why not Grace Baptist in North Ridgeville? It's got to start somewhere. It's the same stuff I teach and preach at church I'm at. I'd like it to start over there. I hope you guys do a little better with it than they have. Ambassadors work with... Here's a good one. Ambassadors work with the power and authority of their king or their country. You work with the power and authority of God Almighty. Wow. I got His power and authority down here? As long as I use His word. You don't ever have to apologize for what you feel. You're against the same-sex relationships. You're against the... Let's just call it what it is. You're against the sodomy. You don't have to apologize for that. To any man. To anybody. I don't care which one of your friends get in your face and tell you you're just intolerant. This is what you tell them. Honestly and truthfully, to me, it doesn't really matter, but it matters to my king, and so it matters to me. I did not decide that sodomy was wrong or sin. My king did. And he's never wrong. And I represent him. He's right. You're wrong, and I'm wrong if I disagree with him. I don't have to apologize. Because I'm not standing on my opinion. My opinion doesn't matter any more than your opinion, brother. My opinion is just an opinion. It doesn't matter. We've all got opinions. It doesn't make any difference. What does God say? Now I don't have to apologize. God says, know your Bible, be able to take them in Scripture to the verses, be able to show them what God says so they don't look at it as just being your idea or your opinion. Here's what the Bible says. This is where I stand firmly. And that's it. And lastly, an ambassador during times of war fights on the side of his own country. It doesn't matter where you're stationed at or where God placed you. If war breaks out between the two, you don't fight on the side of the place you're serving. You fight on the side of the place you represent. Anybody in here want to stand up and tell me why you don't believe that we're in a war right now, spiritually speaking? Where you live is a battlefield. Matter of fact, our own homes become battlefields because the devil's everywhere, and the world system is everywhere, and the teaching of the world, and all those things are everywhere. We all fight. We're all on a battlefield. You can't run from the battlefield anymore. It's everywhere you go. There's battlefields in the house because somebody gets in the house of God because somebody gets upset about what somebody texted them or somebody said to them. There's families coming through the doors that are at odds with each other before they ever get to church in the morning. You bring your battlefield in with you. This isn't even a safe place anymore. So we come in with the wrong attitude to begin with, and you got to preach through that. And we expect the Spirit of God to move in a wonderful way while we sit here upset with our wife or our husband. And I dare you, God, to move amongst us this morning. And what about all the folks that come in that really came in with the right attitude and want things to happen? The problem's here, and I'm not talking about grace, I'm talking about in the church. Man, I'd rather preach a happy-go-lucky message, but do we love America? Yeah, I just told you, this isn't my home. My home's in heaven. Man, God put me here, and He could have put me anywhere. He could have put me in China, where doing what I'm doing right now might mean death. Do you really realize the freedom that He's given you here? Do you really realize how good and merciful and gracious God was to you to put you in this place to be His ambassador? And it ought to make you look at our missionaries a little differently, too. Because He put them here, too, but now He's called them somewhere else, and they're just going, man. They just go. Yeah. But we can't cut out a couple cups of coffee a week to help support them and send them off to do what you don't want to do and I wouldn't want to do. Wow. How blessed are we?
Yeah.
What do you think would happen if I'd have been preaching this message somewhere else? Besides America. Mention the name of Jesus and talking about Him and His blood and what He's done for. What do you think would happen? Yeah, you'd miss me, she says. And she's probably right. Well, what happened, Brother Hofacker? Last time I saw, he's getting hauled off. Man, we're so blessed. God chose to make you ambassador right here.
Wow.
And what are we doing with it? We've got the easy, probably of all the ambassadorships in on this planet that God's aligned people, we probably have the easiest ambassadorship there is in this world today, is being an ambassador in this country. But all this is going on, that's good. No, what's important? Tell them about Jesus, reaching them for Christ, and in that we have it perfectly free right now. And that's what matters. Yeah, but they're taking our guns. Yeah, but they're doing it. Jesus. You tell people about Jesus. That's what you're here for. Tell people about Jesus. Freedom. We have more freedom than any American out there that's lost today. Because we have true freedom. We'll talk tonight about what it means to be truly free and what God's freedom is compared to what man thinks about freedom as. It's a different thing. In many regards. We just think free means free to do whatever I want. Now, God saved us from something different than that. You know, you were already free to do whatever you wanted before He saved you. He gave you a freedom over something you didn't have any freedom over. You know, I would think, preacher, if nothing else this morning, you can leave here grumpy, you can leave here mad, you can leave here upset with me, you can say, boy, he really thinks that we ought to be doing a lot. Or you can leave here rejoicing that you are serving an ambassadorship in such a wonderful place as we have here in America.
Right.
You can either choose to rejoice this morning, or you can choose to reject, or you can choose to repent. Yeah, the 3-point outline, I didn't even have that one in my head, it just came to me. Those are the choices that you have this morning. All He can do, all I can do, all He can do, anybody who teaches, preaches, all we can do is tell you exactly what God says to tell you, and what gets done with it, it's not on your preacher. It's on you. What do you do with the word? Are you an ambassador this morning? Do you want to be a good one? Everybody stand with me this morning for a minute. You know, it seems really rough, doesn't it? And say, boy, I don't know, this ambassador thing seems really, really hard. But can I just say to you, I'm not going to say it's not hard. It is. It is, because we still have a fleshly body, and we still have influences all around us that want to drag us to everything but we ought to be is everywhere around us. No matter how hard we try to avoid it completely, you just can't. It's everywhere. So it is hard. But can I tell you that no matter how hard it is, I am glad to be an ambassador this morning because of what the alternative is. I mean, you're either saved or you're not. And if you're saved, you're an ambassador. End of story. Period. No question about it. If you're saved, you're an ambassador. It's just a matter of whether you're representing right or not. But you're an ambassador. You're telling people about your Christianity. You are showing people about what the kingdom of heaven is about. Either good or bad. Either telling them lies or telling them the truth. But you are an ambassador once you get saved. You're representing God. You're representing Christ Jesus. Once he lives in you, you represent him. Or, you're not an ambassador. And as hard as that just seemed to me, if you're not an ambassador, that means you're not saved. And if you're not saved, that means there's an eternal place in hell waiting for you. And that's the last thing that we want to see happen. In fact, everything that I just talked about this morning, the reason why God is so adamant about Christians living like they ought to live is because he wants to save you from that place. That's the reason why. That's how serious he is about it. And I want to, if you're lost here this morning and you've been affected by watching Christians' lives and you said, why would I want what they, listen to me, I want to apologize for us. We stumble, we fall. We have everything we need. We can't stand and make excuses to you. We'd like to. We'd like to say, well, you know this. No, I have no excuse for the times I've fallen. I have none. With every temptation that's come in my life, he's provided a way of escape. I stand at fault before you this morning. I stand accused before you, and I can't defend myself. I can only tell you this. I'm washed in the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, and that's his desire for you this morning. You might miss hell. Don't judge Christ by those that call themselves Christians in this world today. He is always good, always holy, always righteous. And those things that we talk about that we do as Christians, he's never done. He doesn't fail. There is no fault in him then. There's no fault in him now, and there never will be. We don't deserve to call ourselves Christians. Anybody who's saved can say, I'm born again, but man, we throw that word Christian around so loosely. I'd be surprised if 2% of our churches were really Christian. You understand what that means? If you were out there, if you're at work, do people at your job, without you mentioning one thing about Jesus, do people at your job go, boy, they're a Christian. They've been with Christ. Would people call you that? The apostles didn't call themselves that. They were called that by others that saw them live. Is that what people would say about you? Ambassadors. In a minute, we're going to play a song of invitation. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. I'm just going to pray here. We're going to turn over to Pastor in invitation time. And if you need to come this morning and you know that you're a Christian that's not being the right type of ambassador, I'm going to take it to that level this morning. And you want to begin this and you want to start things right tonight, I'm going to show you the last step that really makes a difference. Because many of you have made this dedication before and you've fallen on your face within a day or two. And when you come tonight or this morning, do it tonight. Get things right. And tonight I'm going to show you what we miss in this when we do it, why we keep falling back. And maybe help you seal the deal tonight. But go ahead and pray. And Pastor, if you want to work your way here, and as soon as I'm done, then Pastor can take over the invitation.